We interrupt this presidential broadcast to bring you the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour in its entirety.
Live from the top of the CN Tower in Toronto, Canada, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and all-too-dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the oldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, a lawyer, statesman, musician, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who drives 40-year-old women crazy, Richard J. Ringhausen. And are you ready? Are you tingling with anticipation? Daredevil, marksman, sculptor, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and an honorary member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers in the Starger Show, Alan Ringhausen.
Hey!
Okay, so I'm assuming that the reference to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police was due to my visit to the Great White North.
Indeed. And I mentioned the CN Tower that we're broadcasting from. You've been to the CN Tower, correct?
Been there, done that.
But you didn't jump.
Yeah. No, but yeah, after I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did, yeah, the touristy things around Toronto, which is, by the way, the largest city in Canada. Yeah. And they tell me it's the most culturally diverse or ethnically diverse city in North America, even more so than like New York or Los Angeles.
Really? That kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
I thought it was just...
Yeah, it was a big immigrant city back in the like late 1800s or early 1900s. You had the Germans coming in, you had the Irish coming in, the Italians coming in from Europe, and you had Chinese immigrants coming from the West after they finished building the railroad in the United States.
Asian Americans, please. It's not the man who built the railroads. Well, it is the man who built the railroads.
They were the people who built the railroad. They were Chinese immigrants. Anyway, but they were immigrating from the United States, China.
You know, you were talking to me about going up that tower. Did you say that you can literally swing around the edge of it?
They have this thing, you know, it's a big circular thing. It looks like a flying saucer set on top of a giant post.
Yeah, that CN Tower is, think in terms of like the Space Needle or as high as the Gateway Arch or taller. I mean, it's really tall.
I think it's the tallest structure in North America.
I believe you are correct. I interrupted you on going around the outside of it.
Okay, so they got this, like, on the inside, you can walk around the entire circle and see 360. Yeah, it's a giant platform, basically, with windows all the way around. But they have, and it's like 3 floors to it, I guess, once you're up there. They have this platform on the outside that you can pay a fee, and they'll strap you in a harness, and after you're in the harness, then it has like an additional strap that they hook onto this rail up above your head, and you can walk out on this thing without any kind of railing. It's just a flat platform that you can lean outward with your feet on the platform and this harness keeping you from falling 1,000 feet or whatever it is.
I'll pass on that, I think.
It's pretty creepy just to even see the video of it.
You didn't try that, though?
I did not.
How about your...
As a matter of fact, that particular day, they did not have that. It wasn't something that was being offered that day.
Too windy?
I don't know what the reason behind it was, but they weren't, they didn't have it. And maybe it's only in the mornings or something, I don't know, but when we were there, it wasn't an option. What they do have is a glass floor that you can walk on and see straight down.
You know, they had one of those, or they have one of those on the bridge that goes over Interstate 70 or 270 there by the Science Center.
Yeah, they got one of those.
But it's it doesn't compare to the one on the CN Tower.
Well, the one going over 270 in St. Louis is like 30 feet. This one's like 1,000.
Now, the CN Tower, it's not possible to just jump off of it if you wanted to, is it?
Like, you'd have to work at it.
I mean, do they have like is it all closed, or is there a railing that you could climb up and go over?
It's enclosed. Now, they have this one section of it where you can walk out, and it's like screened in. And I'm assuming if you had some kind of instrument, you could probably cut a gash in the screen and jump through it. I mean, why is this of such an interest to you, Rick? Things not going well at home?
No, I was, honest to gosh, I was reading an article about people who jumped off the Empire State Building because apparently it's just got a rail on top of it that you can go over. And in 1971, there was this woman that decided to jump from the Empire State Building. It's actually, the observation floor is on like the 86th floor. And she jumps, and the wind blew her back against the building, and she landed on a ledge one story below on the 85th floor. And didn't die.
Well, she landed on a ledge. She could have jumped again.
She could have jumped again, but I'm thinking that that she took it as an omen that maybe she shouldn't. Can you imagine? She made the jump, and then the wind blew her back, and she landed on a ledge one floor below her.
See, that's where she's going to lay there for a few seconds and say, "See, I can't do anything right," and jump a second time.
Yeah, I guess. Once she was there, she started screaming for help. The guard that was there was able to open the window somehow and get her back in.
Didn't we do one of these podcasts, and it's been a while back, and we talked about the most jumped off object? Isn't it the Golden Gate Bridge? People commit suicide off Golden Gate Bridge than any other.
I think so. Now, you went to the Niagara Falls, didn't you?
Yeah.
Both of you.
Nobody jumped while I was there.
you both came back alive, right?
Right. Now, they have this thing called the Rainbow Bridge that, you know, spans between the U.S. and Canada, and you can actually see all the falls from, you know, one location. And I think they had a real jumper problem on that, and they had to put up, you know, some more higher fences with barbed wire to keep people in.
You know, I was reading on this topic too. Do you know that around 30 and 40 people a year go over the falls? They don't advertise it because they won't want more people to do it, but on the average, they fish 20 bodies out of the bottom of it every year.
Suicides?
Yeah. Well,
suicide, or accidental.
Or people who got pushed, I guess. That seems like a big number to me.
But you said 40.
Yeah, 40.
Okay. Right, it's against the law to go over it in a barrel anymore. They put an end to that, right?
It's like a $50,000 fine if you do that. Yeah, they don't want you doing that anymore.
Yeah, well, it seems to me like if a guy really wanted to do this and make a stunt out of it, you'd go and buy your own casket, go into that, and then go over the falls in your own casket.
You know,
you're killing two birds with one stone.
Some of them are pretty padded. You might make it. Now, okay, so what do you think? More people over Niagara Falls a year or into the Grand Canyon?
The Grand Canyon's pretty popular spot for a face dive.
Actually, they only have between 2 and 3 people a year fall into the Grand Canyon. Niagara Falls is...
Fall or jump?
Either one.
Okay.
We ain't falling.
I still think I think the Golden Gate Bridge is still number one.
Golden Gate's up there pretty high, I think. Okay, how about, I know this is a little off topic. How about killed by hippopotamuses?
The hippopotamus is the most deadly animal in all of Africa.
It's one of them. 500 people every...
Well, I think...
500 a year get killed by hippos.
Okay. That seems like a pretty big number.
How about crocodiles in Africa?
Okay. 10.
Over 1,000 people get killed every year by crocodiles.
Yeah. How many people are getting killed by alligators here in the U.S.?
In Florida, they average one a year. Alligators are not near...
One a year.
Alligators are not nearly the problem that that crocodiles are. Apparently, you know, if you go to the Nile River, it's still heavily, heavily traveled by boaters and fishermen and people in small boats, so that there's a real danger of being eaten by crocodiles on the Nile.
Well, we darn. And the crocodiles know it.
Oh, yeah. So, but going back to Niagara Falls, you went to Niagara Falls. Did you do the American side and the Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
The American side, what strikes me about the American side of Niagara Falls is you can stand just right on the edge of it, just right at the break of the falls. They've got that laid out well. I mean, you don't have to strain your neck or nothing. You wanted to go over the edge? There's absolutely nothing that stopped you from going over the edge.
Nothing. I think that they've come to the conclusion that it's too massive, too spread out, and if somebody's going to, you know, throw themselves over, they're going to do it. I mean, how much can you fence it off and, you know, wall it off from the public?
You can't. People who are crazy are going to do crazy things. You know the Niagara River.
I stand there looking at it, right?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, a ton of people there. And there's a couple standing close by. And I hear the woman ask her husband if it's man-made.
I don't even know how to answer that. Was she serious, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. And you resisted the temptation to respond to that, huh?
I threw her over.
You know, Niagara River is only about 3 feet deep all the way across there. You could wade across it if you wanted to.
Rick, I'm guessing that the plunge pool is a little deeper than 3 feet.
Say what? The plunge pool?
Well, the plunge pool.
You mean the little pool at the very top of it before it goes out?
At the bottom.
No,
the plunge pool.
No, there's no plunge pool on the American side. It cascades
well, it's
down
all
on.
Caved off rock.
Yeah, it cascades off
about,
on rock.
I'm talking about the one that people go over in barrels.
Oh, Canadian side.
Falls.
Yeah. I don't know that the American Falls is anyone has successfully gone over the American Falls and survived in a barrel.
Who was the guy that walked across it on a tightrope?
That was Michael Palin. Some Walenda. A Walenda, I think.
Was it a Walenda? Okay.
It probably was not Michael Palin. Hey, I've got a commercial. You got time for a commercial?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let me see if I can find it here. Ah. Crab lovers, are you tired of pre-processed fish entrails molded and flavored to look like crab meat? Do you live in the middle of nowhere in southern Illinois, but love nothing more than fresh, succulent crab? Well, your worries are over. Uncle Dan has partnered with his friend, Captain Craig, to bring fresh seafood to southern Illinois. And does Captain Craig have crabs? You bet he does. And where does Captain Craig get his crabs? Simple. Captain Craig has a lady friend in the Alaska National Guard, and he gets his crabs from her. Yep, Captain Craig has a plane load of fresh crabs flown in from Alaska every week, and he's just itching to give them to you. Get your crabs today from Captain Craig. Available at fine seafoods everywhere. Yeah. I'm done. Okay, you're on your great expedition. You also went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
I did.
Was Dr. Fong there?
In Cleveland.
You did not see Dr. Fong while you were there, though, right? The curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Fong.
What was your favorite part of the?
What
Rock?
I did see was that they did the right thing. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's huge. It's like six levels of stuff, and they devote different sections to different eras. You know, like they have you know, the early rock and roll, and they have the Motown sound, they had the British Invasion, you know, they did all these different things, the psychedelic 60s, all that. But they did the right thing in that they had this some bigger sections devoted to some of the key people, like Elvis. He had his own big section. The Stones had a big section. The Beatles had a big section. Chuck Berry, you know, he received, you know, his tribute. And then, you know, others were, you know, you just kind of went through. And they had, you know, like lots of clothes that were worn by rock stars, a lot of their guitars, a lot of their equipment that they used. I thought that was all fascinating.
And generally they have a special exhibit dedicated to one particular artist, and I think they rotate that.
That up on the very top. It's the smallest level, and I don't know how long they stay there, if it's a month or 2 months or young, because they put quite a bit of effort into featuring that. And when we were there, the featured artist was Bon Jovi. I like Bon Jovi, but whatever.
No wonder it's a small room. You know, I've been to Cleveland, too, and one of the things that struck me about Cleveland was, you know, we got a hotel in downtown Cleveland in the old part of the city, and you had the distinct impression that if you went out at night, you would not come back to the hotel. And then we go up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is on the Lake Erie, the waterfront there, and it's beautiful area. I mean, it's got parks and exhibits and art. I mean, it's like they've taken one really nice part of Cleveland and just fixed it all up and don't spend any money on the rest of the city.
I think that's extremely accurate. I also think that one of the things that goes on in that little four-block section of town is that they do a homeless sweep in there every day to where no encampments get built, and they don't have people panhandling on the street and stuff like that. And if one of them starts doing that, they usher them off pretty quickly.
Now, did they have people sitting out in front of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame playing money with where you'd throw cash into their guitar case?
No. I'm guessing that's not allowed within a certain circumference of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You get too close to the tree is a homeless person.
If you want that kind of stuff, you know, go to Nashville.
Oh, they got that. Do you? Okay, here's a question for you. You've seen street performers like that playing instruments and stuff in your many travels.
Yeah.
What percentage of the time do you throw a little cash into the guitar case?
Occasionally. I'm trying to think. We're in Toronto, and they have kind of this refurbished part there that's got street life and restaurants and cafes where you eat outdoors and stuff like that. And they had some outdoor performers there, and I do believe that I kicked in a little bit there. But they were actually, in that case, I think they were hired by one of the eateries there
to give it a little flair.
Out on the street and donate money to
buskers.
Like that.
Do they call them buskers? I don't think you would give them a dime. You seem like the sort of guy that just walk by and pretend to throw money into it, kind of like you do at church.
Okay, so you asked that question just so you could insult me? God.
I, being a guitar player myself who could easily sit outside on the sidewalk and make some money that way in a big city, would expect to have some cash thrown in. I always try to give a little money to them because I'm that kind of a guy. Do you remember
you want to know the reason not to give them money?
Because it encourages them.
Give it up and get a real job. Give a whole artistry thing.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere. Now, of course, we've played for money as the band before.
Rick,
yeah.
I didn't play for money.
You played for the love of your art. You remember when we played The Last Frontier, which is a little bar in the middle of nowhere in Jersey County, Illinois?
Yeah.
Do Do you remember that we...
I don't think it exists anymore.
No, it burned down. That's why we can mention it. But we played two weekends there. And the first weekend, we had had our followers showed up there pretty good. And the guy was real pleased, so he hired us for a second weekend. And the followers, their parents didn't want them going to the Last Frontier, so we didn't have as big a crowd the second weekend. And that guy was going to stiff us, if you remember correctly. Do you remember how that played out? Well, you probably weren't sober back then. No, that guy wasn't gonna pay us, and we had to bring Larry over, who was packing up his drums. I said, "Hey, Larry, this guy says he's not gonna pay us this week." And Larry puffed up into his full muscular mode, and the guy changed his mind and gave us our money. That's what I remember about the Last Frontier.
Well, you know what Larry should have done is just taken the whole payment, stuffed in his pocket, and walked past us. You know, if it worked on the bartender, it's going to work on a bunch of little hobbits.
Yeah, probably. But he needed us to help carry the band. And he needed
to load the truck.
He needed me to drive the truck home because I was the only one back then that was capable of doing that at the end of the night.
Well, I had a driver's license.
Indeed.
All right. So when you were talking about Niagara Falls and you had the American side and the Canadian side, you know, the Canadian side is much better. I'm not trying to be anti-American or anything, but the view is much better from the Canadian side. It just is.
And it's like three or four times bigger. I mean, it's a big semicircle or horseshoe shape, and it drops straight down without all the crud at the bottom of it. So it's it is a better view, I think, the Canadian Falls. Hey, I got a question for you. While you're in Canada, did you see any Mounties?
No.
I'll bet you did and didn't know it. Do you know that the Mounties, they almost never wear their red uniforms that you think they wear? That they just dress like regular police. They're like the state police of Canada. You know, to me...
No, I didn't see... Well, I saw some state police, but I assume they were like Ontario police or whatever.
You know, to me, if I meet...
I don't know my divisions up in Canada.
If you decided you were going to be a Mountie, you know, and signed up for it, and then got there and found out you didn't get to wear the red suit with the Dudley Do-Right hat, you'd just turn around and walk away, wouldn't you?
I think that you would know that before you got that far.
Yeah, maybe. But apparently the Dudley Do-Right uniforms, they only wear those for ceremonial occasions now. They don't wear them when they're doing regular law enforcement.
Even like if they have some British royalty show up for some ceremonial thing, or if one of their fellow Mounties dies and they have a ceremony or something like that.
Exactly. Or if the Queen comes over, or King now, I guess, King Charles. If King Charles came over, they'd slip on the red outfits and walk around behind him. Kind of like those guys that guard the Pope, the Swiss Guard.
The Swiss Guard.
You know, and they dress like the Joker in a deck of cards. When we went to Rome and went to the Vatican, they're out. I mean, they stand around there in those uniforms. You get to see them if you're dying to see that sort of thing. But I think that
what are the guards that guard like Buckingham Palace?
The beef eaters.
They wear full regalia all the time.
The red outfits and the big beaver hats.
With the big ridiculous looking hat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when you go to Buckingham Palace, you get your money's worth in terms of seeing them, because they're there. Although the thing that surprised me is that they also carried AK-47s.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, if you want to see that, you can go to Washington, D.C., or you know, various, maybe Los Angeles.
Caracas, Venezuela.
Yeah, you'd see a lot of that. Yeah, we saw a ton of that when we were in Europe, got a big dose of that in Paris, big dose of it in Italy. They were all over.
And London, when we went to the place where they had all the dead people, What was that church? Big church.
Place where they have the dead people.
Where the famous dead people were buried.
Westminster.
Westminster Abbey. When we're waiting in line to go into Westminster Abbey, there's cops standing around, and they had AK-47s. And that surprised me in London. I wouldn't have thought that there would be much need for that there. I mean, the people seem pretty well behaved to me.
Yeah, I mean, there were some, but not as much as in those other countries.
You're probably right. Oh, I got one last question. This will actually lead me into next week's show, too. When I talked about the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, killed by hippos, how many people do you think fall off of cruise ships every year?
I don't know. That was just in the news earlier this year where a kid fell off and the dad jumped in after it.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe a month later, there was another story of a person falling off of a cruise ship. So I'm going to say one a month, maybe at least a dozen a year.
They say between 20 and 25 people fall off of cruise ships every year, and that the survival rate's only 28%. How about that? Yeah, apparently
that seems to make sense.
When you man overboard off a woman.
I'd say some of them fall off, and they don't know they fell off until they do a head count later.
Well,
he's not here.
Those new cruise ships, they're about the height of like a 12-story building. So, I mean, it'd be a pretty good fall. I mean, you'd hit the water pretty hard.
Probably not any higher than Niagara Falls.
Well, I agree. Well, most people don't live through that either. Well, I hate to say it, but it's that time of day. So I guess we'll have to say I'll tell my great cruise ship story next week. See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jen's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Captain Craig's Fresh Crabs. Get your crabs from Captain Craig. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production, except no substitutes, because, you know, there aren't any. Captain Craig is no relation to Craig Johnson.